Hello, you're listening to UCC Music Society's Rhythm Roundtable podcast. My name is Cormac Dulvin O'Neill. I'm the events officer for Music Society this year. And today I am lucky enough at this auspicious Battle of the Bands time of the semester to be joined not only by our returning host of Rhythm Roundtable, OCM Michael, as well as Ken from MDR.
Oh, yeah.
And Noah from Smithereens. Two of our finalists for Battle of the Bands. The next heat is this Thursday, the 29th of February, and we're just going to be chatting about the competition, about their experience competing, and all about their own bands. How are you getting on, lads? Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. So I suppose maybe just start with yourself, Ken, in terms of your band, MDR. How did you kind of come together?
We've actually, MDR is kind of a little bit of a thing. It was actually MDRO at the start. But we said the O was just a bit of a mouthful, especially like when you're talking like mixture recyclables, the O stood for only. And then when you're adding the only on, it was just like your drag. It was like an essay. Like, the idea of the band has been there since about last December, like 2022. But we'd different members at the time. Me and Caitlin are the only two original members of the band. And then over time, we just lost members, gained members. And then Battle of Bands, we kind of threw a few songs together and said, we'll get out there.
Fair play. I have to ask where the name come from.
So right now there's three of us doing music with UCC. But at the time, all four of us were music in UCC. And in the practice rooms, the bins have mixed dry recyclables only. And we were weeks trying to come up with a name. And then I just looked at them and I said, it's going to catch you. Like.
I suppose to yourself now as well, how did Smithereens come together?
It's kind of, similarly enough, it's kind of a concoction of different bands, really. Like, you know, we... whittle through members, some people leave and other people come and join, and it was similar to MDR. We started writing our own music probably about 3-4 weeks ago, just before the heat, you know. And then kind of word of mouth, and just people we knew, because our drummer Sammy plays with Rebel Brass as well.
Oh, cool.
So there's one of the saxophone players in there, and we kind of got onto him, and it's great to have him in, and you know, now we have a 5-piece going, and that's kind of, it just came from, myself and Isaac, who's our bass player, we live together.
Oh, class, yeah.
And so, I've been friends with him for years, and he's been playing music with other bands for years, and I play music as well, I study in the school of music, you know?
Yeah.
And so we were kind of talking about getting things going for ages and ages, and then finally, got a bit of a kick up the hole coming up to jazz, and we were like, so, you know, we did cover gigs for a while, and then we wanted to step away from it, and Jesus, I've never had as much fun, really, do you know?
Yeah, you kind of alluded to this, but would Battle of the Bands have been sort of an impetus for you to start writing original material then? Or was it something you'd always sort of planned to do?
It was something we always planned to do, but it gave us a deadline.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of, you need a bit of fire under you to get moving, because you're always, it's easy to beat around the bush, you know, yourself,
yeah,
and you're writing, and you're practicing, and you're like, you just sack it off, but you know, when you're like, okay, we need to write 3 songs, and we have 4 days.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, let's get to work. Like,
all right, one of those riffs you just keep messing around, and you're like, oh, I'll get to it someday.
Yeah, I get to it someday. Yeah, yeah. You know, I have stuff in the bank since I was 16. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was it tough, or was it a kind of a challenge you were ready to meet? I suppose
it was a challenge we were ready to meet. To be honest, we faced it head on, and we were very happy with the songs we wrote.
As I think we're the audience, judging by the fact that you're now through to the final, for definite. Yeah. I know you were saying in some form or another MDR had been around for a while, but in a similar vein, was Battle of the Bands something that you kind of set your sights on and said, right, this is where we're really going to hone our material?
Yeah, 100%. For us, like, this was kind of like something we had planned for, I suppose, like, debut, like, to play as a group. Like, it's kind of similar enough. Like, we've always had, like, a few bits going around, like, with songs and stuff. But we never had enough for like a full set, and I think it was just Battle of Bands was just, all right, we know we need the material, like, so.
Fair play. Like, it was such an eclectic collection of sounds always with Battle of the Bands. You always have different bands coming from different places. And like Michael yourself as a member of like Inside Streetlight, I'm sure the same thing. In terms of your own individual band members, like, I suppose starting with yourself, would you all come from similar musical backgrounds? Would you all have similar taste, or is it a bit of a meeting of different influences?
I think it actually is one of the reasons why we work well together. We all have very different tastes. You know, I'm kind of mainly a jazz pianist, primarily. So
yeah.
That's what I study, and you know, I reel through Bill Evans and like McCoy Tyner and all these guys, and that's the type of. And now I also love Radiohead and all this kind of stuff. But then, like, do you know, obviously, you know Tool?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sammy, the drummer, is a massive fan of Tool. And, you know, Isaac loves Deftones. And so we all have this, just everyone's got such different tastes. And but it's that kind of concoction that makes it exciting, you know?
Absolutely. I think that comes through in your sound as well, do you know, definitely. What about yourself?
I think we'd all enjoy similar artists, but then when it comes to like influences, we pull from different places. Like myself and Kane will kind of be primary songwriters, like, but if you know who writes what songs, it's so easy to tell who writes them in the future, if you get what I mean. Like Caitlin's very like a melodic kind of writer in her lyrics, like being a singer 100% like. But then if you like look at like the stuff I write, because I don't sing, like, so lyrics are kind of not really high on my priority, like, but it's very, like, Foo Fighters, kind of in-your-face, heavy guitar, like, whereas hers then is a lot more, like, the indie side of it.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of, they kind of complement each other then in the same time, because you can kind of hit two target audiences at once, like.
Oh, definitely, that's kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trying to get a little bit of everything. Make sure you get everybody.
100%, and especially, I think, with Battle of the Bands, it's so important, because you're playing to such a kind of a wide audience. You know, you have the student body, but obviously it's in Cypress Avenue, which is such a great venue to host it in, that you can kind of get anybody on the night. So that sort of wide appeal, I think, is something that really helps with Battle of the Bands. Michael, I suppose getting into Inside Streetlight as well, would it have been the case that you came from a lot of similar influences?
Yeah, I'd say like mostly, but it's like kind of everyone, it's like Ken said, it's like everyone kind of has their own like influences. So like it's kind of easy to tell like which person made which song. But like we all like come together to work on like songs, but like whoever comes up with the main idea, they kind of like a slight style to it. But yeah, it's just a lot of fun, just because it gives like a lot of inspiration and stuff.
Yeah.
See another perspective.
And with Battle of the Bands leading up to it, would it have been, I know you're saying you're coming from CSM as well, but would it have been a competition that in previous years you'd have gone to or been familiar with? Do you know, did you have kind of something in mind with Battle of the Bands?
Yeah, I was there last year, right, as a spectator. Because again, at the time last year when we'd like the original, I suppose, MDR lineup, it was something we wanted to work towards, but we just couldn't. So I said, I'm gonna go anyway, and I knew then when I went last year, I was like, yeah, this is going to be next year, like, I can't wait, like, it kind of lit a fire under me, like, you know, and I couldn't scratch the itch, like, until last week.
Oh, fair play. And I suppose, with yourself as well, you'd have a few members of Smithereens that would have been in Violet Club, who've previously competed in Battle of the Bands. What was your kind of impression going into it as well? Had you sort of heard much about it from the lads, or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the lad, Isaac and Sammy and Paddy, the kind of rhythm section, I suppose, are me. They were there last year with Violet Club, and you know, they got on great. They were into the final as well, and I actually originally joined Violet Club, and from Violet Club we formed Smithereens. And it just we were buzzing. We were really, really excited to play it. I mean, it's such a good venue, so much fun to play, you know. I played there once before, but it was a much smaller kind of, I was just accompanying a girl, actually, Brona O'Connor.
I wouldn't know her.
I think she graduated this year, but she was finishing out the music degree. And I just accompanied her for her recital. And that was the first time I played in Cypress. And I was like, you know, when you're up there, you're like,
Jesus. It's like, I was the same. I played with Iris a few times. And it's a completely different thing than when you're playing your own, isn't it? Like, it's one thing, like, to accompany someone or to play a part of, like, another band, like, but, when you're playing your own thing, it's completely different.
You get,
like, a big sense of pride as well. Like,
absolutely,
it's like, you're putting your heart in your sleeve, like.
Yeah, when you see people and, like, you get feedback from the audience and you're like, this is something that we crafted. This is art that we really believe in. And, like, people are jumping out and, like, this is class. There's no feeling like that, like.
Nah.
And from what we knew from Battle of the Bands previously, I mean, really all I knew was that it was going to be a good time, and I really, really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, I had to join the UCC band if I wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
So I got on to the lads.
There's a will, there's a way, I suppose,
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
And with kind of the transition from, I suppose, Violet Club to Smithereens, was that a case that she wanted to more sort of explore playing more originals and stuff like that? Was that sort of the goal?
Yeah, we wanted to explore some more originals, and it's just instrumentation kind of led us to move in different directions, and we, you know, You know yourself.
No, absolutely. And Michael as well, in terms of like Inside Streetlight, when you were coming into Battle of the Bands, I know, as we kind of mentioned as well, you're on the Music Sock committee, like, had she sort of gone there as a spectator? What was your impression of it?
So like, I didn't know the lads before this year, so I was just kind of went with my friends last year, and I was just like, this is insane, like, you know. And like, I wasn't even really expecting really to enter Battle of the Bands this year until like Adam just contacted me, and he was like, oh, do you know, would you fancy just jumping in? And I was like, yeah, sure, might as well. And then, yeah, that happened somehow. But no, it was a really cool experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it kind of daunting, I suppose, for Cyprus? I know in some form or another, you've sort of performed with various bands around the place, but for that being, I suppose, a first gig of sorts, kind of what was your impression of that?
Yeah, 100%. I think, though, like, maybe it wasn't just that it was Cyprus, but I think it maybe would have been any venue, really, because... Yeah, especially when it's a set where it's like all original. You played all original as well.
Yeah, you would say
it was just like, it's...
That's what's daunting about it.
You're putting yourself out there to the public, like, you're saying, look, this is us, like, and you don't know what they're going to think or what they're going to say, like, so I think that was just the most kind of nerve-wracking thing, like, are they going to like us is a big thing.
I've played to audiences before who did not like me at all, and that is... That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Really, really bad feeling, yeah.
Is it something that, you know, being on stage, that would reach you straight away? Do you know, would you sort of feel...
Straight away. It was actually a guy's story. This is years ago.
Yeah.
I am in my local GA club. They were putting on... Did you ever hear of Robert Mizell?
The name's familiar, actually.
I had never. But yeah. It's just a country, I mean, like, couldn't get any more. One of his songs is called My Old John Deere or something like that. I mean, the man is an absolute panderer.
Deep country.
And so they got on to the Paris, obviously, knew that I played music, and they were like, will you bring a band and play away? And I was in a trad band at the time. I didn't realize that was who they meant. I was also in a three-piece. We did a lot of Jimi Hendrix and, like, the Police and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll get the guys together, we'll come down. We come down here to a room full of people, Irish people, people that I knew, dressed in cowboy hats and spurs on their boots, ready to go line dancing. And we open up with, like, Moby Dick, you know, that Led
Zeppelin. Yeah.
And, like, the crowd.
With the full drum solo.
Oh, yeah. No, not the drum solo. But there was about probably 80 people there, and it was silent.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, Jesus. We have not. I mean, look. I want the music we played was good, and I backed it. We performed well, but it was the wrong venue. It was bad, like.
Yeah.
And that is a terrible feeling. And so when you're performing original music, that was different because, you know, we were doing covers. And so when it didn't go our way, we were like, do you know what, we're going to play on, and we had our crack. But when you're doing original music, that's exactly, your heart's on your sleeve, and you're like, because when you're writing lyrics, whether you like it or not, it's going to be an honest reflection of your own
100%,
of your own thoughts. It's always going to be. Whether you like it. I mean, sometimes I articulate things that I didn't even know I was thinking. And then I'm like, oh, Jesus. So, that's that.
Is that kind of vulnerability, I suppose, in songwriting, like something that's, is it difficult? Or, I suppose, the other side of it, it's kind of, as you're saying, can you really do anything else when you're writing lyrics?
I think for me, it's less difficult than you think.
Yeah.
I think it happens naturally. It kind of pours out of you. And then you're like, it's incredibly therapeutic.
I suppose with Inside Streetlight as well, that was your first gig. How was that in Cyprus?
Yeah, no, it was like a bit daunting, but it was like so much fun. It was a really good experience as well, just kind of like used to it and like see. So from now on, I feel like it's a good stepping stone. Now we just sit down and be like, okay, what can we do better, you know, all that stuff. So hopefully, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like, I think that's something that's great with Music Society about having that as a venue. It's like, whether you have a band there who kind of hasn't quite reached a stage in their kind of career where they'd be filling out Cyprus, or whether it's their first gig or something, it's either kind of, it's something to aspire to, or it's something to jump off of. Do you know what I mean? It's it's a great venue, I think, to have for a competition like that. Well, how did you find the night as well? What was performing like? Do you know, was it a good experience for you?
Oh, unreal. I'd say, we said it definitely coming off that, like, the way we played at Cyprus was the cleanest we ever played our set, like.
Yeah.
So we were delighted, but like, even like apart from playing, I think the thing that I think we as a band were the most excited for was to meet other bands, you know.
Definitely,
and like, you can make like connections, make people that you can be like, oh look, we have a gig here on such and such a date, are you interested in playing alongside us, like, you know.
Mm.
Especially when you're like, you're a new band, it's almost a bit cheeky to be messaging people out of the blue.
Yeah,
like,
they
don't know. Yeah, you know, and you're like, ah, here we go.
You up?
I've friends up in there, like, well, they're gonna be like, who are you, like?
Yeah.
But no, it's great now, and like, especially like we see how like friendly everyone else is, like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Like everyone's just like, a big thing is everyone was so humble, like, you know, that everyone was just like, ah, oh, when you realize everyone's in the same boat, like, it's a bit kind of calming, like, you know, I suppose.
It's something that, you know, even being on the Music Society Committee last year, I found as well, there's never that animosity between bands, do you know what I mean? There's,
no.
I wouldn't say there's no kind of competitiveness, obviously, because everybody's in it kind of for the prize and for playing on that stage and for distinguishing themselves, but there's never a kind of a spirit of trying to take anybody else down, so to speak, do you know what
no,
I mean?
No, no, no.
And
actually, I did tell Connor from Aftershock that if he gets through to the final, I will be detuning his guitar.
Oh, well, at least you're not like coming to the heat and detuning his guitar before, you know,
Aaron,
he performs.
We'll
so have to sanitize.
I did tell him though, at least, like, you know, I'm not going to go behind his back. Like, so if he leaves his guitar out, that's I think that he's just asking for it at that point.
Yeah, look, he brought it on himself, like.
Yeah.
But it kind of brings us on to another question as well. And I think talking about the sense of camaraderie among bands and the other bands kind of around Cork at the moment, how familiar were you with kind of the Cork scene at large coming into Battle of Bands? Were there sort of bands that you'd admired?
Big one on the Cork scene is a bit of a behemoth would be like Kane's Basement. Like, you know, they're kind of, they're almost like the...
Well established.
They're kind of like the centrepiece of Cork.
Yeah. Not to take from Kane's Basement, but I would have said the Love Buzz.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're
I'd say there's like a good few like big ones.
Yeah, there is. There's actually, I mean, the music scene in Cork at the minute is brilliant, you know. Like,
it's popping,
you know,
like.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many bands and they're all like really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, I've seen plenty of bands that are god awful as well. You know, everybody has.
Yeah.
You get gigs and you're like, oh, Jesus. But I mean, everybody who I see and like the standard of the Battle of Bands was so high, and at any gig you go to around the place, you're like,
if they got signed, you'd say, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, you'd be like, fair enough.
Yeah.
You'd be kicking yourself.
There's only
matter
of time. Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Like, it's...
Then I'd be messaging and be like, oh, do you need support?
Yeah. But, you know, they'd sort you. They'd 100%. I mean, like, yeah, and that's the thing, because...
It's not looking after your own, like...
As competitive as it is, people tend to back each other and always have each other's backs. And if you need gigs or if you need covers... I mean, we've even done gigs in the past where... You know, when you know yourself, when you get depths out just for a gig, like, oh, we've no, you know, party can't make it, whoever can't make it for the gig, you get somebody just to sub in just for one gig.
Yeah.
And that's the type of favours you do for each other, like, you know, because we're all in the same community.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, Michael, yourself at Inside Street, like, would you have been super familiar with the Cork scene as well, or?
Yeah, I'd say fairly so. Like, obviously, I'm from Waterford, so, like, it wasn't as...
That's terrible.
I will not go to the Hebel Dash. Anyway. what was I saying? Yeah, well, like, I was from Waterford, so I wasn't as familiar as, like, you know, Adam. He's, like, knows, like, a lot, basically, way more. But, even, like, just going to Battle Bands and stuff and just seeing, like, the level, it's just really cool to see, like how it's, like, a different level kind of almost in Cork.
Yeah.
And, like, how good everyone is. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Like, it's an absolutely unreal time for Cork bands, even, you know, at the moment, looking at like people like Cardinals and stuff who've only been going like a couple of years, and they're getting like, you know, coverage in stuff like NME and stuff in England, and it's
they're going on tours around the UK. Like,
it's crazy. It really is. It's such a great kind of time to be looking at bands.
Go on. Most of the like posters or anything you see around the city, you know, anywhere else you go, or most places you go to, are all, it's adverts and whatever, and sure, we all still see plenty of adverts, but most of what I see is Pebble Dash, 5th of March, and whoever else, 4th of March. You know, there are posters everywhere.
Yeah.
QR codes on lamps, I mean, those little Spotify things, you know, those codes, you know, like stuck to bins and stuck to post boxes. Like, everywhere you go, there's just the bands and the music is everywhere.
Yeah, it is, and it's such a great kind of an environment to be in, like, musically as well, that to feel that that's such an important thing to people, do you know what I mean? I suppose, is that something that you feel yourselves, that music, you know, whether it's in UCC or in CSM, like, obviously in CSM, but that it matters to people, do you know?
Yeah, 100%, I think. I think like, if you're in any way, like, attached to music, as I suppose we'd be, like, where you can perform or anything, I think there's almost, like, a moral obligation to kind of... throw it out there, like, you know.
Definitely, yeah. Because
the people will always consume it, like, I think. It's always been there. Like, I think we've had music before we could even speak, like.
Yeah.
You know, even as, like, babies, you can, they're always tapping or, like, before they can even talk. So I think music is always something that's going to be consumed.
Yeah.
It's very rare you meet somebody who says, oh, I'm not into music at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you meet someone
unheard of.
Yeah, when you meet somebody who's like, I've never heard a song. Yeah, yeah. I don't like listening to music. It's like, what do you mean you don't like listening?
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do when you're sitting on the bus? Like, you only just sit there in silence.
Yeah.
It baffles me.
No.
I would be certain that everybody has at least some sort of connection to it. You know, whether it be nostalgia or even disdain.
Even if it's disdain,
at least it's something.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Come to Battle of the Bands and share your disdain.
That's
what I would say. Yeah, I suppose talking about that personal connection to music as well kind of brings to another thing I love getting into with bands and with musicians whenever I chat to them as well, is about kind of, it's a bit of a well-trod cliche, but the process of songwriting. Like, I suppose an Inside Street, like, for example, how would a song kind of generally begin for you?
That's a good question.
Does it generally begin?
No, it's just kind of like one person would be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I have this idea or whatever, and everyone listens to it and be like, oh, yeah, and then we just, like, build upon it. It's like, oh, I changed this, and it's just, like, slowly, gradually. And then everyone, like, has their own little piece in it. So, like, it might have been, like, originally someone's song. Like, by the end, it's kind of like a nice amalgamation of everyone's ideas.
Yeah.
So, it's just really cool.
Would it be much the same for yourselves, or, I suppose, an MDR or Smithereens?
It's kind of different every time. No, usually, I would say one member like that will have an idea. And, like, a lot of the times, fragments of our songs are ripped straight from something else.
Yeah?
You know, like, oh, yeah, I like that. So I'm just going to use it. I'm just going to take that. Yeah. I mean, for example, we played one song and the drum beat, Caravan, straight away. Do you know that jazz? Yeah, oh my God, it's the same. Like.
I think I was downstairs on the door for some of your set, but I'm sure I actually recognised the drum beat.
This moment. Exactly, I was like, Caravan. That's... I mean, if it's not the exact same, it's about as close as it gets.
If it works, it works.
Oh, absolutely, it works, yeah.
And sure, you can't patent it.
No, like, there you go.
Anyway, so I mean, usually what happens is one member will have an idea. And it's usually more than just, here's a chord I like the sound of, or here's something I kind of like. Someone will say, here's maybe a verse, or a few chords that I put together that I like, or even bass line. You know, two of the tunes that we play now were started with just bass lines. And then we bounce off each other for as long as we can. And we've no fear of telling each other to shut up either. And I think that is key to writing good stuff, you know, being able to say, I don't like what you're doing.
100%.
And being able to not take it personally. You know, because I've worked with people as well who are like, don't say that. And then it's like, sure, how are we supposed to get it done?
Yeah.
You have to be able to cut the back off each other a small bit.
100%.
And so I think our writing process works mostly from, it's all building blocks. And it's just about starting with one thing. And then oftentimes lyrics and melody come dead last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose, would it be a case between lyrics and melody that one would give rise to the other? Would it usually be a melody first or lyrics first?
Personally,
yeah.
Being the singer, you know, the type of music that we play as well, you know, it's driven mostly by funk and rhythm, you know. So I actually try not to sing too melodically. And so I lean more towards lyrics, but not, again, I'm not writing Bibles. Like, I like maybe 2 or 3 phrases, and then I just repeat them over and over. I'll change it slightly, or, you know, stuff like that, because I prefer to get the energy of just the words. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be something extremely poetic. As much as I love poetry and I love lyrics that are deep, and I do write stuff like that, but when it comes to writing for the band, I lean more towards spoken word, obviously, not like...
Kind of like Dire Straits, like all.
Yeah. Great example, actually. I was going to say Fontaines, but actually Dire Straits would probably be a better example, yeah. And just, not that I'm... sound like Fontaine's, but I take inspiration from the way he sings, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a nice performance for you there. that was Smithereens. No, I suppose.
No, it wasn't.
which yourselves as well, you kind of mentioned that I suppose yourself would have come from CSM and a couple of you in MTR would be music students here in UCC as well. Is that ever a case of when you're writing a song and you have kind of one person in the band or a group of people in the band who've come from that particular background with music where they have that sort of taught experience with it, and people with a more intuitive one, is there like a difficulty with communication sometimes? Or?
No, we're music students, but we're still like, what note are you playing there? Or then you just show up the chord like on the guitar, like, oh, I'm just playing this, like. I think you're always gonna have that, like. But no, I think, like, as I said, like, it's kind of me and Caitlin really are at the moment anyway, kind of the ones turfing at songs. Like, don't get me wrong, Caitlin absolutely outdoes me with her number of songs. Like, I don't know how she does it, half off to her. But like, for me, it's just a case of if I sit down to write a song, can't do it.
Yeah.
If I put myself under that, like, I'm going to write a song at 1 o'clock next Friday. I'll be sitting there for the hour, not going to happen. Like. But I could be on my phone scrolling TikTok and then something will just come into my head and I'll go, my guitar, where is it? Like the day after Battle of the Bands, Thursday, sitting on my bed scrolling through TikTok and I had like an epiphany moment, like, and I was like, I need my guitar, like, now, like. Other times then it just comes from, like, you're just messing around, like.
Yeah.
Even just like warming up, like, and you might play something, I'd say,
absolutely, yeah.
Need to put that in the bank, like, or something.
Yeah, need to remember that one. Like,
yeah.
You'd be kind of panicking as well, like, when you have an idea like that, I'd say, because it can kind of get away from you, I suppose, if you don't sort of record it or write it down or something.
I have so many videos on my phone.
Voice notes. Second
long voice notes. I think we kind of got into it earlier, talking about with your own style of singing as well, but are there particular songwriters that would kind of inspire maybe the way that you go about songwriting? Or
I don't know if he'd really inspire me, because I don't think I'd be anywhere near his level of songwriting, but I love Noel Gallagher. Yeah, I know. It's been,
if he sticks with it, he might be big one day.
A lot of people, like, you either love him or you hate him, I think.
Yeah.
You never get anyone who says, like, oh, yeah, he's grand. Like, some people either say, really? Like, or you'll have people that'll be like, oh, yeah, I get it.
But just to be clear, I like Noel Gallagher. You're pointing at me here. Yeah, you're just like,
looking at me. Don't say controversial opinions on the podcast.
Yeah.
Which one of them was the primary songwriter for Oasis?
No, was that was Noel.
Yeah. Oh, well then.
There you go. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
I love the solo stuff.
So do I.
And the High Flying Birds.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's
completely different to Oasis. Mm. You know.
But I
can't really compare the two.
I think it really speaks to, like, how good a songwriter is, though, when they have that kind of, like, versatility. Like,
yeah,
you know, you could be doing the Oasis thing for, you know, 20-odd years, however long they were doing it, probably a bit more, and then to go with something like High Flying Birds, where so much of it has been, like, there's kind of bits of electronica and there's bits of more kind of psychedelic music, like Primal Scream and stuff like that. It's, like, it's so different from Oasis. But is that something, I suppose, that you, in your own bands as well, would kind of aspire to explore in lots of different things, not sticking with one kind of genre of music, whether it be jazz, whether it be whatever? Are you kind of eager to see what you can do musically?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. We try and, I think it's really important to try and make every song, like, completely different to the last, because it's never going to be. I mean, we're the same group of musicians. Like, I mean, it's still going to fall into the same kind of, you know, I don't like to categorize what we're writing.
Mm.
And I wouldn't say that I wouldn't put ourselves into the parameters of any genre, you know. Although we definitely do fall into one, and I just don't call it. You know, I don't mean to sound like we're outside of it. Like, you know, just, I feel like if you lock yourself into a genre, then you're going to lock yourself into it. And now you're going to shy away from exploring new sounds, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite bands is Radiohead.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, every single album is like a whole new band. It's crazy, the way that they write. Tom York is an absolute hero of mine, like, you know.
And even their stuff with The Smile now that they're doing is different again.
I'm going to see them next Friday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are they three arenas?
Yeah.
Savvy class.
It's going to be amazing.
Their new record is, like, something else.
God, something else. It's so artistic.
Altogether, yeah.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I love it.
With Inside Streetlight, I suppose, would there be any particular songwriters that kind of inspire you? Or
it's not who you think it is.
For context, previous episodes of the Music Sock podcast that Michael has been featured on, he has expressed his bordering on concerning affection for Alex Turner.
It's not that bad. I say like a lot of
Alex Turner.
Watch out for a new a new single.
Don't believe the hype.
But I'd say like a lot of just like general like the Wallows, I'd say we really like. It's just like a good like strong lead guitar part, and then just like anyway, just that's just where like our headspace is at now. But like I was saying, a lot of like the different members have like different ideas of like different genres, so it's really helpful because obviously I really like indie rock, and like obviously I like other types of music, but that's kind of like what I kind of center around with guitar. But it's just kind of really handy when another member's like, oh look, but I did this, it's like a bit different, and I'm like, yeah, that's really cool.
And
it's just really eye opening.
You did a kind of a rendition of like a bit of an indie rock classic as well. You did a class version of Where's My Mind?
The Pixies. No,
is that a kind of band you're all into? Or
Definitely.
Man, I hate the Pixies. It's a strong word, but
it's not my fault.
I hate the Pixies. Alex Turner, though, I back you there. Yeah. I actually think he's one of the minds of our generation.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Definitely.
Screw you, Cormac.
I like him. I know about him.
Sorry, screw you, Lauren.
That's true.
Would you say then that, like, because I know, like, it's definitely a case for me where if I'm writing lyrics versus instrumentally, I'd have different inspirations.
Definitely.
Like, for, like, I know I said Noel Gallagher, like, where I try and maybe replicate, like, some of his lyrics. But then, like, if I'm writing instrumentally, like, for my own kind of songs that I'm writing instrumentally, it'll be kind of like Foo Fighters, kind of like heavy guitar rhythm, like.
Yeah.
But then, like, if Caitlin comes with a song, I'll almost, like, show, like, Mark Knopfler now in Dire Straits, he's always doing something, like. Like, if Caitlin comes to me with a song, like, it's, the pressure's kind of off me in that sense, and kind of nearly adding anything to it, all I have to do is just play a bit of lead over, and then that's kind of the route I'll try and go with, like, where I'm like, okay, what can I add to this, like.
I lyrically and musically, you definitely draw from different sources of inspiration. Like, it's just, and then I think that's what really makes a song sound nice then, because you have oftentimes, like, you could have some heavy guitar part that sounds like Deftones or something like that. And then you could have lyrics that are ripped straight from, like, Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then that polar, that real polarizing, it makes something so beautiful, like. And it's, I don't know, I'm after running out of thoughts, but I think that those trying to get inspiration from everywhere, do you know, it's I don't, everyone is inspired by particular people, but I think it's about listening to as much as you possibly can of everything. You know, I've listened to most music
I've had I'm almost finished music.
Spotify credits.
Please stop releasing more.
I was nearly caught up.
I think it's really important to dip a toe into every single genre. And you know, listen to it, and if you find you don't like it, fair enough, then stop. But dip a toe into absolutely everything. And then what you're left with is this massive bank of sound, a massive bank of different artists that you draw from.
I don't understand. You probably related to being like studying music. Like, when you're studying music, you're kind of forced to do that anyway. Whether it's like a module you're taking, or it's a particular lecture you have, and they're showing you something like in a lecture, you just automatically be like, I've been exposed to, in the past like 2 years I've been here, like nearly 2 years, like Gamelan in UCC.
I've heard a lot about that. It's
heard of that
mental,
I stepped in the door, and next thing I know, semester one of first year, I'm playing gongs and stuff. Like, and I'm like, what is happening here? Like, but I think, like, definitely, like you said, like, try and tap
into
everything.
Dip a toe into absolutely everything, like, you know, I mean, everything. Classical music, like, I mean, you know, we'd study, like the last 6 weeks studying La Boheme, you know, Puccini. You know, it's like, and all the lecturers are like, look, we don't expect you to go home and listen to opera music, like, analyze it, because then, whether you like it or not, it's in the bank.
Yeah.
And then it's there, and you'll see the similarities in your own writing, because it's not, it doesn't have to sound the same with the tone, you know? It's about the kind of phrases and just the direction that they use. And next thing you know, you're reading, you're looking at your own music and you're like, Jesus, that's kind of
Puccini-esque.
Not Kafka-esque.
I know, but it's, I suppose, taking all of that on board as well and having all these different musical influences, like, is it important to you, you know, kind of either the 3-year bands, like, is it important to maintain a kind of a pop sensibility as well? Is that something that kind of you consciously try and keep the big hooky chorus or something like that as well, do you know, or whatever you define as a pop sensibility, I suppose?
I firmly believe we wouldn't write anything that we don't back, you know, and I'll never write something just because I know the crowd will like it.
Because they'll know you don't.
Exactly, and they'll know that you don't believe in it.
Exactly.
I could pump out, no harm to them, I could pump out a picture of this song in 15 minutes.
I don't think that's the first time the picture of this has caught a bit of flack on this podcast. Yeah, I recall having
it before. I won't be the last.
And they talk about formulaically.
And
there's nothing wrong, everything has a formula. But
yeah.
I do, like, you definitely want to write something that people will dance to, and we think, don't do this because people won't be able to enjoy it, you know, or don't do this because people will be... They won't be able to dance, but I'll never write something because I know that they'll like it.
Yeah.
You're playing it for yourself, first of all, and all you have to do is hope that they do. And if they don't, it's their problem, really. You're still enjoying yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it, like, it's up to you when you do
as well.
Same for Inside Streetlight, I suppose.
Yeah,
is that,
definitely.
Do you kind of...
obviously, you know, you, like, have, like, the thought that, you know, oh, you want to make it, like, still upbeat for people, you know, listening to kind of, like, nod their head along to, but also, you know... You don't want to just, like, go into, like, the 4-chord thing where you just kind of do the...
Sell out. Then.
Yeah.
Sell out before you even made me money.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, that's a very big idea that we have. Just try to keep it a bit different.
Coming into the looking ahead section of the podcast and speaking of things that will hopefully sell out, how are you feeling about Heat 2, I suppose, to yourselves, MDR and Smithereens?
We feel good.
Or final, I suppose, yeah.
We're really excited. We're really excited to play and... you know, we know the competition can go anyway. We always can, and we're always willing to take that on the chin, you know? But I don't think anybody will be sour about winning or losing.
No,
or
not
at
all.
No, yeah, we're just really excited to play it. Just get to play Cyprus again.
That's
and
it, like.
Have a bit of crack, drink a few beers, and play some good music, and put on display art that you believe in.
Yeah, that's it for us. Like, we... like, even just by showing up and shaking hands, like, we kind of got what we wanted out of it. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, we were able to... show off our music, like, make friends.
Yeah.
You get your, like, your name out there, like, you know, people now know we're there, like, as in, we know the Smithereens are there.
Exactly,
inside
yeah.
Street, like, that's what I actually loved about our Heat. I don't think anyone knew each other.
No, so, yeah,
yeah. Definitely, yeah.
All, like, new, apart from the whole.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
we all,
I'd met the whole before, yeah.
We
yeah.
were all, like,
lovely
the
guys.
Three of us were all new bands, like.
Yeah.
But I think in Heat 2, they're all...
I think
Fox and Aftershock.
Telebox and Aftershock would be well established.
Yeah, yeah.
Blonde
you
as well.
You have a bit of a beef with one of the members, don't you, Cormac?
With who?
Connell.
Of Telebox. Do I have a beef with him?
Well, he's no, it's just like from Galway. I thought that was the thing going there.
He's on the Connell of Telebox. The lead guitarist is also on Music Society. And I believe what you're referring to is that I just frequently give him grief for being from Galway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is true. But in my defence, I do that to anyone that isn't from Cork.
Such
as
that is
lost.
True, yeah.
In Galway,
rich music scene.
Galway is lush, correct? Mm.
Yeah. There's even just the last couple of weeks, there's been some really cool singles from bands come out of there, like Van Gaan and Bees and Sawdust, I think, who are Galway as well. Really strong, like, kind of, especially with, like,
Bees
heavy.
And Sawdust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
I'm,
I believe they're Galway. Anyway. But,
Is that, like, patent, like, copyrighted?
Is mixed dry recyclables just not good enough anymore?
Yeah,
I meant to ask as well.
I quite like the name WMD.
Yeah. I want too many beers now before that.
I meant to ask as well with the names of the bands as well. With where did Smithereens come from?
It was... Fuck, I wish we had a better story. again, it's just weeks toiling over what we gotta call ourselves, like, you know, and then it was just a suggestion that was kind of in the bank, and we just settled on it. Really, that was it. I mean, there's no story, which is a shame, you know. It'd be better if they did have a story, and it's nicer when they do. But
sure, look, you'll just have to make something up.
Yeah. So I was.
So I was there, and I just drove past some Smithereens,
yeah.
and I thought that's it. When Inside Streetlight,
Much the same. There's literally no story behind it. It was just like, we're like, what are we going to call ourselves? We were called Funk originally, but too many people were coming up. It's like, do you make funk music? So we're like, we're going to have to change that. So yeah, I think just like Key and our bassist just said it one night, and I was like, that sounds good.
Because I like it. Every single band name is cringy until
Yeah, exactly.
Not a single good suggestion.
Yeah.
Who suggested Arctic Monkeys? They must have been like, what are you on?
Yeah.
Coldplay, like.
It's terrible band name.
How did that go?
Yeah, I think honestly. Initially, if I'm thinking the right crowd, that was even worse. They were called Starfish. For a good
was
one.
That was
they were called, they had an EP, I think, that was out, and it was very different. It was kind of shoegazy, but it was like, they were called Starfish. And I was like, that's, I'll be honest with you, Coldplay is a step up from that. Like, that's dire enough, I think.
Yeah.
Leaving off the podcast, definitely, in terms of all your experiences with Battle of the Bands, is it something that you would, if there's, whether anybody attending Battle of the Bands in the future, anybody listening to this podcast who's considering starting a band or is considering competing, is it something you definitely advise people to do?
Yeah.
You'll regret it if you don't.
You will.
Yeah, really.
And it's so good. Like what I was saying earlier, like, give yourself a deadline. That's the way you get music written. And that's how you cook up something good, you know?
Yeah.
Put yourself under pressure. If you've nothing to be writing it for, you're too forgiving on yourself. Like, give yourself a deadline. Now you know you're going on stage in front of 250 odd people, and you have to perform original music, and they're all looking at you, and like, it's happening in 2 weeks' time, so you better shape up. Mm. And it inspires you. It actually pressure
100%, yeah.
Pressure 400 times, lad.
On that note, I think we might wrap up the podcast. Thank you very, very much for listening. Again, the next heat of Battle of the Bands is on the 29th of February in Cypress Avenue. Free tickets are available now from their website. The final will be the 6th of March, and then the InterVarsity final, actually, which will be great crack altogether in association with the University of Limerick Music Society, is on the, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, I want to say it's the 14th. It's the 14th. Yes. Excellent. Well, this has been Rhythm Roundtable, the Music Society's podcast. Thank you very, very much for listening, lads. Thanks so much for coming in, and best of luck with absolutely everything going forward now.